My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution, the way the world is changing through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And of course, I try to always bring to you some education that helps you see the world a little bit differently, understand these deep, complex issues a little bit more simple so you can understand them, some of the latest breaking news so you know what's going on, and of course, some interesting guests. And I want to talk about some of the big news headlines that have been going over this week because, oh boy, if you're not paying attention like I am every day, you are not able to keep up because the world is changing really, really, really fast. Now, something I've been talking about at length is this FTX situation blowing up, which of course is important because it's literally changing the face of cryptocurrency as we know it. Not just cryptocurrency, I think it's going to change the face of investing. It's going to change the face of regulations in a big way. But I also know that tens of billions of dollars, potentially hundreds of thousands of Americans were really impacted by this. Maybe millions of Americans. I don't know the exact number of customers they have. That'll all come out through the bankruptcy court. But FTX, the firm, went down. I want to say taking customers' funds with them, which it was. But I'd even say stealing customers' funds. And unfortunately, a lot of people lost a lot of money. And some people lost everything. And it's unfortunate. And not just people, but businesses and corporations and investment funds. I mean, it took down everybody. And so they filed for Chapter 11 for bankruptcy. And so there's some things going on that I want to talk about this week that you need to be aware of, especially, if you're in the cryptocurrency space at all, you need to be aware of these. If you had money there, then you need to be aware of these as well. So if you're anywhere in the cryptocurrency space or were, then this probably applies to you. But we know that the like I said, they went through Chapter 11. They've got an attorney now that's kind of running them through the bankruptcy court. And man, it is shocking what is coming out. We see here says that FTX lawyer says that substantial amount of crypto of the crypto firm's assets are stolen or missing. And so, you know, in bankruptcy, they kind of change out the management. They bring in a different team, a steering team to kind of run them through this. And we see here it says that, quote, FTX was in the control of inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals, and some or all of them were compromised individuals, end quote, says James Bromley, counsel to FTX's new management. Boy, talk about throwing them under the bus. It was in the control of inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals, and they were compromised? What does that mean? Well, Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder, was supposedly the wonder kid. He was supposedly the smartest guy in the world. He was the one on stage with Bill Clinton. He was on the stage with rubbing shoulders with the most advanced regulators from the SEC, from the CFTC, from the Financial Services Committee, like Maxine Waters, taking pictures buddy-buddy. He was going into Washington, D.C. on a very regular basis to set all new regulations and set all new policies on the entire industry. He was the guy, but it says right here, it was in control of inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals that were compromised. So how is it that the guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, the guy who the regulators were bringing up, that the Biden administration was listening to, that was responsible to put policies in place, was actually unsophisticated and he was compromised? How was he compromised? Well, we do know that supposedly his entire goal, which everything was a lie, so we don't really know what to believe. But supposedly, he said he didn't care about money. Supposedly, he just wanted to give all his money away to good. And he did. He gave a lot of it away. He gave about $38 million to the Democratic Party for the midterms. And not just the Democratic Party, but to heavy progressives in the Democratic Party. He was Biden's second largest donor in the last presidential election. He wanted to give $1 billion to the Democrats for the next presidential election. $18 million for COVID pandemic planning. And so it wasn't just a little bit of money. It was a lot of money. He was in bed with the World Economic Forum. And so maybe that's what they're talking about as comprised individuals is what they say. But it says here, quote, what we have here is a worldwide international organization, but which was run as a personal fiefdom of Sam Bankman-Fried, Mr. Bromley said. So if you know anything about businesses like corporations, you know that once you start getting into corporations, you have things like corporate law, and then you have certain things that have to be done, and you can't run them like a personal fiefdom. They have something called commingling of funds, and that means that your businesses are supposed to be separate from your personal, and your businesses are supposed to be separate from each other as well. We know that when the bankruptcy attorney went in there to kind of figure this out, which by the way he was in charge of the largest kind of scandal bankruptcy in history, the Enron scandal, and he's now working on this one. He said this is the worst one he's ever seen in his career, and they're a $32 billion company, two different companies, Alameda and FTX, and they ran them like all out of one account. Customer funds and deposits and investor funds and proceeds all just run out of one account with no ledger to even break down who this belonged to, which is why it says here, a worldwide international organization, but which was run as a personal fiefdom of Sam Bankman-Fried. That's illegal. It's highly illegal. The Washington Journal has reported that FTX was a chaotic mess of corporate entities, customer assets, and Mr. Bankman-Fried himself almost from the firm's inception. So he ran this just as his personal slush fund, including all his political donations. That's all illegal. FTX as, quote, one of the most abrupt and difficult collapses in the history of corporate America and the history of corporate entities around the world, end quote. This is a big deal. But what's going to happen out of it? It's a big deal. These customers, they lost their money. Now it's in bankruptcy court. Will the Democratic Party give any of that money back? When you are a politician running and you're soliciting campaign contributions, you have a very, very, very high bar that those contributions are supposed to match. As a matter of fact, we know that Dinesh D'Souza, who's a conservative filmmaker, he got in trouble for taking a small amount. D'Souza, let's see. How much did he see? I was here, sentenced to Manhattan Court to 5. I should have looked this up ahead of time. Dinesh D'Souza sentenced in Manhattan Federal Court to 5 years of probation for campaign finance fraud. Dinesh D'Souza attempted to illegally contribute over $10,000 to a Senate campaign, willfully undermining the integrity of the campaign finance process. Like many others before him, all political stripes, he has to answer for his crime here with a felony conviction. So how dare he? In the 2012 election, it limited campaign contributions to $5,000 from any individual to one candidate. But in March of 2012, D'Souza contributed $10,000 to the Senate campaign of Wendy Long on behalf of himself and his wife, agreeing in writing to attribute the contribution as $5,000 from his wife and $5,000 from him. So you can only contribute $5,000, but he gave $10,000. $5,000 from him, $5,000 from his wife, which they thought would pass, but nope, they didn't, and he got 5 years of campaign fraud. Now, what about the $38 million that was just given to Democrats? Where did that money come from? Is there going to be any scrutiny into that? I'd sure like to know. I want to talk now about what's going to happen with customer funds. Will customers get any of their money back? And more importantly, also, we'll talk about what did they actually do with that money? So we'll be back with all that and more in a minute. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, breaking down the latest breaking news in the cryptocurrency space this week. I'll be back with all that and more in a minute. So don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the latest breaking news around the Sam Bankman-Fried FTX debacle, we'll just call it that. And it's tragic, it's horrible, and I feel bad for anybody caught up in this mess. And if you're anywhere in the cryptocurrency space, you're probably caught up because there's contagion going all over. I want to talk about that, other potential risks that there may be coming down the pipe that you need to be aware of. Like I said, if you're anywhere in the cryptocurrency space, you need to know about this because it set off just a series of dominoes. The first thing I'd say is that there's a headline from Wall Street Journal saying, will the FTX crypto customers ever see their money again? And unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think the answer is probably no. FTX filed for bankruptcy on November 11th. The attorney for the bankruptcy says, quote, only a fraction of FTX digital assets have been located and secured, but we know that they have managed to find somewhere about $1 billion of assets. The problem with that is that the creditors are owed over $3 billion. So there's not even a third of the money the creditors need, and so the creditors are going to be first in seniority to get their money back. You, as a depositor, have no recourse. You're at the end of the line. And so what we know is that they've only been able to find about a third of what the creditors are owed. My guess is it's actually probably even way less than that. A lot of the assets they have right now are cryptocurrency assets, which are just losing value. And my guess is the money they're able to find is going to be only a fraction of what's going to be owed to the debtors, to the creditors. And you as a depositor will most likely not get anything. Now, I don't want to crush your dreams and your hopes, but I think that's going to be the case. And what we can really hope is that there's going to be some justice here, that Sam Bankman-Fried and his cohorts will be held up for justice of stealing these people's money. I am appalled why he's not already in handcuffs right now. When Bernie Madoff was finally found out that he was running one of the biggest Ponzi's that we've seen in U.S. history, he was handcuffed immediately. We just saw Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos. She just got sentenced to 11.25 years in prison for defrauding sophisticated investors. Here's Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, stole from you, from retail. Not from sophisticated accredited investors, from retail people. And what did he do with it? It says right here, Bankman-Fried's FTX senior staff and parents bought Bahamas properties worth $300 million. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried, supposedly, I don't need any money. I don't want to be rich. I just drive a Toyota Corolla. I'm giving all my money to charity. Meanwhile, he was living a lie. He was living in a $30 million mansion. And he gave his parents and staff $300 million worth of property. Now, his parents, so Sam Bankman-Fried, it's a hyphenated last name. One of his parents is Bankman, and one of his parents is Fried. I believe it's the father's Bankman, his mother's Fried. They're both attorneys. They're both tax attorneys. And they're both heavily, they're both professors. And they're both heavily involved into the Democratic Party. They're bundlers, so they raise money for the Democratic Party. And his father writes policy for Elizabeth Warren. So when you're a tax law professor teaching and writing regulations for Elizabeth Warren, you know better, all right? You know better. You're not just some unsophisticated person. You don't just take $300 million worth of property out of this. I'll call it what it is, a conspiracy. It says here, attorneys for FTX said on Tuesday that one of the company's units spent $300 million in the Bahamas buying homes and vacation properties for its senior staff, and that FTX was run as a personal fiefdom. Oh, we already talked about that. So $300 million. Luxury beachfront homes, including seven condominiums in an expensive resort called Albany, costing almost $72 million. For that one, $72 million. So, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried, oh, I just want to get rich so I can save the world, and I just drive a Corolla, and I don't care about money. Meanwhile, living in a $72 million resort called Albany. So not only is he a liar, he's a scammer, he's a fraudster, and yet he's still not in handcuffs. Still not in handcuffs. As a matter of fact, it's not that he's just not even still not in handcuffs, which is incredible on its own. On top of that, the New York Times still has him scheduled to speak at an upcoming meeting on November 30th. He's booked to speak with the same stage and meeting as Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, and President Zelensky from Ukraine. And this isn't just like they haven't got around to updating the website. I've been following this, and they just updated the website, and they took down somebody, and they put up Ben Affleck, the actor. So they just updated to put him on there. They couldn't have updated to take Sam Bankman-Fried off. He's still scheduled to speak. He's not in handcuffs. I mean, this is just insanity. This is just insanity. On the flip side, we have... I've talked about this before. There's a developer that wrote a piece of software for like a cryptocurrency project. He wrote a piece of software. He didn't use it. He created it that other people could use. It's called Tornado Cash. Alex Pertsev is to remain in jail until at least late February. So this guy, a Russian national living in the Netherlands, was accused of facilitating money laundering by developing an app. So he created an app that other people used. Supposedly they use this illegally, allegedly. He didn't. He just created a piece of software that people used potentially illegally. We don't know. He was arrested immediately. He's being held indefinitely. And he's not even scheduled to have even a hearing until February for creating a piece of software that potentially... allegedly, people might use for things that might be potentially illegal. Maybe. If they find out. Doesn't matter. He got picked up. He's being held indefinitely. And maybe he'll get his hearing in February. And maybe they'll find something. Think about that for a minute. But SBF is parading around town and still scheduled to go hold talks and appearances. The one thing that you can tell about the position of the state or your government is how they prosecute crimes. How do they prosecute crimes against their own citizens? So how are they prosecuting crimes that SBF has committed against the citizens of the United States versus how do they prosecute crimes against their own power? So here's a Netherlands resident from Russia that created a piece of software and look what the U.S. is doing, and look what they're doing to somebody like Sam Bankman-Fried, who literally defrauded billions of dollars from U.S. citizens, and they're doing nothing. They're still propping him up. They're still allowing him to speak on the same stage with the U.S. Treasury, Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when you can see the position of the state by how they prosecute crimes against their citizens versus crimes against themselves. Tax evasion? Oh, that's 15 years. Oh, $10 billion from citizens? No worries. We'll still invite you to speak at the White House. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about some of the latest breaking news that's going on in the cryptocurrency space this week. I got more to cover when I come back. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're running through the biggest headlines happening in the cryptocurrency space. We look at the world through the lens of politics, finance, and technology as we're witnessing the technological revolution happening, the decentralized revolution happening. We were talking about how FTX is blowing up, and then we're talking about how the regulations against FTX versus like someone who created a piece of software like Tornado Cash are so glaringly different. Another one that I want to talk about is I've been talking about a while, which one of the big pieces that really led to this whole domino effect, this cascading effect in the cryptocurrency space was Celsius. Celsius was what's called a CeFi. It's centralized finance. So there's DeFi, which is supposed to stand for decentralized finance. And then there's CeFi, which is more like centralized finance. So supposedly DeFi, decentralized finance, is like an open source software protocol where you could stake your tokens and you could earn rewards back. Whereas CeFi is like a company, a centralized company that's supposed to do that for you. And so I give my tokens to this company, they invest them on my behalf, and they give me a return back. Celsius was a big one. Of course, BlockFi is a big one. And I've been outspoken against these for quite a while. I did do some ads for BlockFi back in the day. It's been over 2 years since I decided to walk away from all of that. I'm just not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of the risk and reward ratios of that. And so as an investor, I'm always looking for what I call asymmetric returns. I want something that gives me more upside than downside, right? And so I think right now Bitcoin is probably still one of the best asymmetric opportunities that we have in the world today. I think there's an easy 100x upside in front of us, or it could go to zero. I could lose it all. So that would be a 1x downside. I could lose everything. Or I have a 100x upside. I like those odds. But when I'm giving my cryptocurrency or my Bitcoin to a platform like BlockFi or Celsius, I'm potentially risking it all. So I have 100% risk of loss with only a 4 or 6% upside return. So 100% on the downside with a 6% on the upside. That doesn't sound good to me. That's not the type of returns I'm looking for. I want to risk 6% and have 100% upside. But they do it the other way. So I'm not a fan of that. And unfortunately, for people who use Celsius and who use BlockFi, they had to find that out the hard way. They did lose 100%. I mean, if you had funds on that, it's gone at this point. Now, for BlockFi, it's not looking good because BlockFi had all their money on FTX. And as I talked about before the commercial break, if you had money on FTX, it's not looking good for you there. And so what happened with BlockFi, and this is even a bigger scam, BlockFi might have been okay on their own. Potentially, they had other offers to help bail them out, which would have helped save customer deposits. But when FTX, when Sam Bankman-Fried came in like the savior to save the whole industry, he said, hey, BlockFi, don't worry. I got your back. I'll help you out. Here's what we're going to do, though. What we're going to do is Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX, we will guarantee your customer deposits. We're not going to give you any money for the equity. For all the people that invested money in the company, they're all screwed. But we're going to take care of your customers. Don't worry. But what we have to do in exchange, in order for us to guarantee all that, is you need to now give us all your deposits. So all those customer funds that BlockFi was holding, now you got to give it to us. We'll hold it for you, though. And we're going to guarantee all those deposits. Now, the shadiness of this is that SBF and Alameda were already bankrupt at this point. They already knew this. You didn't know this, but they already knew this. So they fraudulently went out and pretended to be something that they weren't. They made promises and guarantees that they couldn't live up to. And they promised to take care of these customer deposits in exchange for giving them to us unless holding them. And they just stole those too. So those are gone. And so unfortunately, if you had money on BlockFi, then it was actually on FTX. And unfortunately, it's probably gone. If you were with Celsius, there might still be a ray of hope, a little sliver of hope. And I don't want to give you false hope, but I've been documenting this. I'm covering it because if you have money there, you had exposure there, I want you to know. But there was a couple of different ways people had money on Celsius. So one, people had it just as storage. So they were just holding my keys for me. Those people have a decent chance of getting a good majority of their money back. Then there was loan products. So I was getting a loan from Celsius and they held a bit of my cryptocurrency as collateral. And then there was yield where I gave you my cryptocurrency and you gave me a percentage back on that. And so there's differences there. I think the yield and the loan customers might have a tough time, but there might still be some money there. The big news this week is that the U.S. courts approved a deadline for Celsius customers to file proofs of claim. So if you had money on Celsius, they've given you a debt, they've approved a new deadline for you to file a proof of claim. So customers of the bankrupt crypto lender have until January 3rd of 2023 to file proofs of claim. And so if you had any money there, you need to go check this out. All right. Just go on to your favorite search engine and just Google that. U.S. court approves deadline for Celsius customers to file proof of claims. But you have until January. And so if you have money there, you can file it. And hopefully you can do it for free. You can claim it by mail, by hand. You can do it through their website. You can go to Stretto, S-T-R-E-T-T-O, Stretto's website, and you can do it there. And you need to get that claim in there. Now, they might already have your claim, but you need to make sure because you want to get in line for some money back. I'm not saying you're going to get money back, but at least there might be a chance. Now, this is continuing to get worse. So now FTX goes down. They take BlockFi's customers' funds with them. They've also taken a big chunk of money from Genesis. Now, Genesis is probably the biggest company you might never have heard of. Genesis provides these yield products for a lot of these front-end customers. So Gemini, which is another big cryptocurrency exchange run by the Winklevoss twins from Facebook fame, they have an earn product. So you could park money with Gemini and they would pay you a yield on that. I believe they're paying 8% on their earn product, but it was actually Genesis that was doing that. And now Genesis is having trouble because they had a bunch of money parked on FTX that's now gone. And because of that, they're not able to pay back the earn products or the yield products. We can see that Genesis halted a redemption shortly after revealing on November 10th that it had $175 million locked in an FTX trading account. And now Genesis is scrambling. They've spent the last several days seeking at least a $1 billion injection of fresh capital. But it doesn't look like that's going super good. Doesn't look like it's going super good at all. It says that they have no plans to file bankruptcy yet. Our goal is to resolve the current situation consensually without the need for any bankruptcy filings. But the bigger problem is that Genesis is a counterparty to many other players in the digital asset space. So that's the problem. It's also gauged as a kind of a sign of the overall industry's strength. If you had money on Gemini in that, you're in limbo. The $700 million of customers' money tied up in this. And there could be even more contagion coming from this. I want to talk about that more in a minute. The bigger risk and contagion. We're going to talk about the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. I do want to just say real quick before I take a break that if you have money earning yield anywhere, I would take it out. If you haven't lost it yet by now, consider yourself lucky and get it out. It's not worth the risk. And most likely this contagion is going to take every earn yield type of product down. And so pull your money out of that because it's not looking good. But what does this mean for Genesis and their partner companies? Specifically, I'm talking about DCG, Digital Currency Group, and the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which holds over 650,000 Bitcoin. And if that goes down, that could shake the entire industry. So I want to talk about that, the potential, what that means, why there's such a discount, the potential risks, who's betting on that, and more when I come back in a minute. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show, talking about the decentralized revolution, talking about some of the latest breaking news of the week. I got a lot more to cover when I come back. You don't want to miss it. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next?
Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, and we're running through some of the latest breaking, biggest news headlines of the week. And we're talking about this crypto contagion that's going on. It started back in May, and now it's just gotten bigger, 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 bigger. It took FTX down, and now it's taking down even some of the bigger players. And so we talked about Genesis. Genesis had at least close to $200 million of exposure to FTX. That's now thrown their whole plan into a tailspin. And a lot of people are fearing what comes next because Genesis is a sister company to founding company DCG, Digital Currency Group. And Digital Currency Group is also responsible for the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. Now, the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust has been a way, I believe since 2015, to buy Bitcoin through like a 401k or mutual fund or like a regular stock account. So if you have this one of these types of retirement vehicles, you're not able to buy Bitcoin directly, or you weren't at least at that time. And so this was formed as a trust, and it was a way that you could buy Bitcoin or get access to Bitcoin's price exposure through that. When you buy into the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, or as it's called, GBTC, you don't actually own the Bitcoin. The trust owns the Bitcoin. You have exposure to the price of Bitcoin, sort of like when you buy a gold ETF. You buy the gold ETF, you don't actually own the gold, you just own the ETF, which supposedly owns gold, and then you have exposure to the price of gold. But the problem is people are saying, well, shoot, if Genesis goes down, it could take out Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. And if it takes out Bitcoin Trust and they're one, if they're forced to liquidate, what does that do to the overall Bitcoin and cryptocurrency market if they have to sell 650,000 Bitcoin? And two, what happens to all their creditors? What happens to their creditors? And so I want to talk about that briefly. It said that, so Genesis already had to halt customer withdrawals. We already talked about that. However, Genesis does not directly affect GBTC, all right? They are separate. Even if Genesis is unable to raise liquidity for its lending book, even if it files for bankruptcy, the creditors that would go after the assets of Genesis would have zero claim, no attachment to the GBTC assets at all. Now, Grayscale Investments, which manages the GBTC trust, and Genesis, they're both owned by the same company, DCG. But just because they're owned by the same company doesn't mean they have cross liability to each other. Now, if you have assets like a business, like a car, like a house, like a rental property, you should also have a structure like this as well. So you're supposed to have these assets into different structures, different entities, so there's no cross collateralization. So for example, I have like rental properties and they're in separate entities. So if somebody were to slip and fall and get hurt there, they don't sue me and take everything I own. My business is in an entity over here. My rental property is in another entity over here. And so you want to compartmentalize them. And that's exactly what they've done here. And it says that the GBTC's trust structure protects its holders and remains ring-fenced from failures within DCG or the DCG group entities. Ring-fenced. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Exactly what I've explained. It sits over here in its own entity. And even if DCG goes down, even if Genesis goes down, it shouldn't have any effect on the trust. Okay, then what about the trust specifically? Why is it having so much trouble? Well, currently GBTC trades at a massive, somewhere in the range of 45 to 50% discount to the price of the underlying Bitcoin, which is pretty interesting. It's traded at a premium before, meaning you would actually pay more to own Bitcoin in the trust than you would own it directly. Now it trades at a discount. And the premium or the discount that we have now is because of the market sentiment, if people want to hold this or not. Now, a couple things have happened. One, I said earlier that when it first started, when the Bitcoin Trust first started, you couldn't really own Bitcoin through a lot of these types of retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, et cetera. But now you can. So now there's a lot of other companies that have come up since that allow you to own it. So for example, Unchained Capital is a company that I work with, and you can own Bitcoin through an IRA or a Roth IRA through them. You don't need to buy the trust. So the demand for this type of a product has come way down. The other thing is that you don't actually own Bitcoin, right? You just have exposure to the price. Now, the discount is for the risk that you have for doing this. What are the risks? Well, some of the risks are that the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust charges you a fee to manage it. As a matter of fact, they say that the Grayscale Trust generates about $300 million a year just in fees. And so a lot of people are saying, well, you know, if DCG goes down or if Genesis goes down, they're going to shut down Grayscale. Why would they shut that business down? It's making $300 million a year. If I had a business making $300 million a year, I wouldn't be wanting to shut that down, as I'm sure they won't either. And so they generate that through fees. And so if you own Bitcoin through there, they take about 2% of your money per year in fees, which is expensive. Why would I want to pay that? And so if I own that share, I don't actually own Bitcoin. If I own Bitcoin, I can go sell it on the market at the market price, which at the time of this recording is $16,130. But if I own the trust, I can't sell for the Bitcoin price. I have to find someone to buy the share of my trust. And there's not a lot of people that want to buy that right now. So someone's like, well, I ain't going to buy it for $16,000, but I'll give you $8,000 for it. How about $8,000? Will you take $8,000? And someone's like, well, shoot, I need my money, so I guess I'll just take the $8,000. And that's what provides the discount. And you get the discount for the risk that's involved. So what are the risks? One, like I said, if they shut it down, I think that's overblown because they're making $300 million a year. Why would they want to shut it down? I think what a lot of people may want to buy this and hope for is that it gets back up or closer to par or back to even to what Bitcoin is. And so maybe you have like a big sovereign wealth fund, you know, like a Saudi Arabia or some big fund that wants to just come in and buy the whole thing out. That could be possible. If you were a big sovereign wealth fund, you can't just go buy 600,000 Bitcoin. Like, they're just not available. You just can't buy that many. So does this be a way for a big player like that to come in and buy all this at once? And if they did that, it could push it all the way back up to par. And so if I was holding shares of this trust, not only would I get the appreciation in whatever Bitcoin did, but I would also get the reverse back to what we call NAV or net asset valuation. And we see people are doing this. I know people doing this. We see Kathy Wood's ARK. Invest buys 1.5 million in Grayscale Bitcoin Trust this week. The firm purchased the shares at a record discount to their net asset value. Like I said, it's about a 50% discount. Kathy Wood's ARK Investment Management bought 176,000 shares or 1.5 million in Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust on Monday as the crypto market slumped to a two-year low, trading at a 45% discount to their NAV net asset value. So, you know, Kathy Wood is a very polarizing figure in Wall Street. She did really, really, really good with her fund when the markets did really, really good. Since the markets have sold off, her funds have done absolutely horrible. Now, if you play in the long game, she could turn out to be a genius. Right now, it hasn't done too well. And what will happen with this trade? You know, time will tell. But it says, as purchased, ARK purchased 300,000 shares worth $2.8 million last week. So it purchased 2.8 million last week, another 1.5 million this week. The investment firm now holds 6.4 million GBT shares worth 53 million. So she's not just buying a little bit. She continues to add and add and add and add 53 million. So that, I would say that probably helps out a lot because let's say if this continues to go down, 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 ARK potentially has the ability to raise the money to buy this whole thing out. They could just go buy all the Bitcoin in there at a 50% discount. If you had the money to buy it, it'd probably be a pretty good option. And that's what a lot of the holders are betting for. I'm sure that's what she's betting for. And if anybody wanted to buy the Bitcoin Grayscale Trust, they may be betting on the same thing. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the latest breaking news in the finance and the cryptocurrency space, talking about FTX and the fallout. There's so much to cover. I got a whole lot more to cover when I come back. I got to take a short break. Don't go away. I'll be right back with more.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution every week, and we're talking about the latest breaking news in the space. It is big. It's reaching every corner. It's reaching millions of people. It's reaching all the big companies. You know, when things go good, you don't really think about all the downsides, all the risk. It's only when things go bad, as Warren Buffett would say, a rising tide rises all boats. But it's only when the tide goes out do you see who's swimming naked. And so that's exactly where we're at here. You know, when things are going good, everybody's friendly, everyone's having fun, everyone's laughing, everyone feels rich. The wealth effect is in effect. But when everyone starts losing money, then people are mad, people are fighting. And more importantly, people want to point blame. Now, I did a whole part talking about regulations that I think could come and what that means. I am not pro-regulation. I think that we should be able to put our money into whatever we want, and we should take responsibility for ourselves. I've been saying a lot really through both really what came through the pandemic, people being forced into taking vaccines, also now through the financial markets, the cryptocurrency markets. I've been saying that I believe the age of personal responsibility is coming back. Now, mainstream media wants to tell you, just listen to the experts. During the pandemic, major news outlets even ran headlines to say, don't do your own research. Don't. And I think that is the most idiotic thing that anybody could ever say. It's up to you, period. It's up to you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be the expert on everything, but you need to know enough at least to go find the right experts to listen to, because at the end of the day, it's your responsibility. If you're forced to take a medication that gives you an adverse reaction, that's your fault. You got to figure out who you got to trust. If you lose money by putting money into some poor investment, that's on you. Now, I get it. Like, sometimes you were lied to. Sometimes you were scammed, and that's illegal, and those people should pay. And we have laws against that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I believe the age of personal responsibility is coming back. It should come back. We all need to be responsible. Unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. And so some of the big news headlines this week, on top of this push for regulations, please, government, nanny state, we need you to save us, right? I don't know what I'm doing. You need to tell me what I can do with my money so you protect me. On top of that, we see here a headline, Tom Brady, poor Tom Brady, can't catch a break. His football team's not doing any good. He's getting divorced, and he just lost a ton of money in FTX. We don't know how much, but estimates are somewhere well in the eight-figure numbers. So a horrible football season, a divorce, and losing a ton of money in FTX. And if that's not bad enough, now he's getting sued. Tom Brady and Steph Curry and FTX endorsements are probed by Texas regulators. So not just sued by people, but now Texas investigators are trying to dig into this as well. For what? For looking at whether endorsements violated security laws. So it says here, Tom Brady, the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry are among the celebrities that a Texas regulator is investigating for potential securities law violations tied to the promotions of crypto exchange FTX. That's not good. We're taking a close look at them, Rotunda said, Texas State Securities Board. It says, though the Star's endorsements aren't the most immediate priority, there's still a focus in the regulator's larger probe into the FTX collapse, he said. It says that even before the collapse, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission was cracking down on plugs without proper disclosures. So they have to have proper disclosures. But the problem is like, are they, have they done the proper disclosures? And also, are they saying the right things? So we can see here, for example, if a celebrity says, like something like in the endorsement, I've looked into this investment and it's terrific and you ought to put your money into it, but they haven't really looked into it, then that would be a misrepresentation. So even though they're getting paid to say something, and most likely they are probably given the script to say, and they were probably given the script to say, and they probably believe the company's legal team looked through it, they still have to be responsible for what they're saying. They should probably have their own attorney or lawyer look at that. So if they say, oh, I've looked into it, it's great, it's terrific, you should put your money into it, but they didn't, then that would be a misrepresentation. That's a problem. It says here that they also, on top of, like I said, the regulators, they also are now defendants in a class action lawsuit. So now the regulators look into it, but we also have this class action lawsuit basically going after Tom Brady and Steph Curry as well. There's thousands, if not millions, of consumers nationwide that believe they were defrauded and pulled into this investment because of these stars. Brady, Curry, Gisele Bündchen, and Shaquille O'Neal, too. I think this is ridiculous. I think if you put your money into something because somebody on TV said, like a star, like a Tom Brady or Shaquille O'Neal said that they're in it and you put your money into it, that's on you. That's on you. But I've also had to learn that, you know, I have to live in the world that we're in, not as I think it should be, not as I want it to be, but as it is. And as it is, this is what's going on. Now we can see here, if what's being marketed is deemed to be a security, they're basically doing something that may very well violate state security laws, the attorney said. We can see here, poor Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian had to pay a big fine. The SEC enforced actions against Kim Kardashian. They ruled that she had to pay $1.26 million to settle allegations that she broke securities rules by promoting a crypto token on her Instagram without disclosing to her followers that she was paid to pitch it. I mean, this is just, it's completely ridiculous in my opinion. It's a complete waste of time by taxpayers' money and the SEC. If you don't know by now that influencers on Instagram are promoting products they're paid to promote, then I don't know what to say about you. Like, really. Like, that's the whole model. You build up a big following on social media, and then you're an quote-unquote influencer. Everybody knows that Kim Kardashian is, like, the biggest influencer on Instagram. Everybody knows that. They've known that for, like, whatever, I don't know, 5-6 years at least. That's the model. The fact that she didn't tell someone how much she was paid is ridiculous. But she had to pay up $1.26 million she had to pay to the SEC to settle that. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried, who just stole $10 billion, you know, never mind that. He's still walking around free. But, oh, that Kim Kardashian, we better take her money because she didn't tell people on Instagram that she was paid to promote something. I mean, it's just insanity. I don't know if they're going to use the same thing with Tom Brady and Steph Curry. I mean, did they not disclose how much they were paid? I mean, obviously they're in a commercial. Do you think people are doing these commercials on TV without getting paid? Do we really need the FTC, or I'm sorry, the SEC to go after these people because they didn't tell us they were getting paid as a spokesperson? We know that. They're on a commercial. That's what they do. That's how this works. And furthermore, am I supposed to defer my responsibility to them? Well, Tom Brady told me to put my money into this thing because he's some big investment guru? I mean, come on. This insanity needs to stop. And meanwhile, like I said, you have a real criminal, Sam Bankman-Fried, who literally posted on Twitter days before he stole all your money, posted on Twitter days before, all the money is there. We have all the money for the customers. We'll return every customer's money. He said that. The head of that company said that before he stole it all, and he's still walking around a free man. But, oh, Kim Kardashian, she promoted something on Instagram and didn't tell us that she got paid for it, so we're going to go after her. Insanity. Like I said, you can tell the state of the government by how they prosecute crimes. They don't care if you steal from each other. Just don't steal from them. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, breaking down the latest news. That's what I got for you today. Thanks for listening.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.